Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to the celebration of our 100th show of Polygamy, What Love Is This? We're certainly glad that you've invited us in your homes tonight to share this celebration with us. Of course, we're grateful to God for giving us 100 opportunities to share the gospel of His grace and His love in this culture. And we're also grateful to TV20 for letting us use their facilities to these 100 times to broadcast our message out to the Salt Lake and the Utah area. This celebration is being broadcast live from Salt Lake City, Utah. And of course, it is a telephone call-in program, and we are inviting any of our viewers who have been helped or been touched by this program in any way, if you'd like to call in tonight and just share your experience with us, we'd love to hear from you. If you would rather just email it to us, we'd like to hear from you as well. You can do that at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And we also want to thank our Boise, Idaho area and welcome you to our show. Those who watch us up there on Sunday afternoons on KCLP Channel 18 in the Boise, Nampa area. All of our previous shows, of course, can be watched on the internet at whatloveisthis.tv. Whatloveisthis.tv. Duh. Here we go. And it's on streaming video. And if you want to access the top answers to our top questions, you can go to whatloveisthis.tv/answers. I was looking for a slash on the louse, and it wasn't there. But to find out how to receive our free resources, you can go to whatloveisthis.tv/offer. And we do have a support group. We have a discussion group. We meet the third Monday of every month at 6:30 p.m. And anyone whose lives have been touched in any way by polygamy would love to invite you to attend that group. We have some very good meetings, very good discussions. They get better every month. So if you're interested in coming, please email us or call us, and we will give you the details of the meeting. And of course, if you'd like to know more about us, our show or our ministry or this culture or more about polygamy, there's a lot of information on our website, shieldandrefuge.org. And for information about how to help you, if you're in a polygamy group and you have questions or doubts or you'd just like some help, we have a toll-free number, a hotline number you can call. It's 977-425-9993. Give us a call and let's discuss your situation and how and when we can help you. Now, next week, our guest is going to be Kyle Smith in person and Mary Mackert by telephone. What we're going to do next week is we're going to discuss the recent National Geographic magazine article as well as the television special that was focused on polygamy. And Mary Mackert has been a guest on our show in the past. She's a previous polygamist wife and mother. And she was interviewed for the television film. And she would like to weigh in on what was said that wasn't put on the television special and what she thinks should have been said. So, and then Kyle Smith was raised outside of this culture. He was transferred here, so he's going to give us an outsider's viewpoint of the National Geographic reporting on the unique and illegal culture of Mormon-based polygamy. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been warning you about our 100th celebration that we're doing, and we have asked our viewers to participate in this by sending in suggestions of some of their favorite clips and the favorite parts of each show of the past 100 shows that we could make a collage of those clips and show them tonight. And Scott Johnson is our mastermind in the video and in the technical department, and he's taken many of your suggestions and he's stuck in a few of his own. And this is what he came up with. Enjoy. Over the course of the last 2 years and more than 100 episodes, we've had the privilege of sharing God's good news with people all over Utah and beyond through television. And let me tell you, it's been quite an adventure for all of us who have been involved with Polygamy, What Love Is This? And because we are a live call-in show, much of the program is not scripted, and so we never know what is going to happen. We'd like to share with you some memorable moments from the show. Welcome to our program, Polygamy, What Love Is This? We are a live telephone call-in program devoted to the subject, the topic of polygamy. We'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. And this is the place to call us and ask your questions about polygamy, to discuss your concerns about polygamy, and to learn more about the mysteries surrounding the subject of polygamy. Tonight is our first program, and we just thank you for joining us. My name is Doris Hansen. I was born and raised in a local polygamy group. I was born and raised in the Kingston Polygamy Group, a thriving group here in the state of Utah. When I was born, I was claimed by a man in the group. When he found out my mother had given birth to a baby girl, he came to her and said, "Oh, you have a girl, save her for me." She said that we need to have an opposing view on our show. And you know what, ma'am? We are the opposing view. For the past 163 years, since 1847, when the Mormons first came to Utah, you were the view. And it's time you had the opposing view, and that's what we're doing. And we're not going to invite the opposing view on our show. You never invite us on yours as an opposing view, and so we're not going to do that for you either. What's your question?
I love your blue shirt, by the way.
What's your question?
That's all I had to say.
Oh.
That was nice.
That was a little off topic. Thank you.
I think that polygamy rocks, and it's awesome.
Okay. Wonderful.
Because all you do is sit there and damn someone for not following some stupid book.
But do we know the reason why?
Why what?
He married him.
Because he was a pervert. Sorry.
Pervert?
Mm-hmm. If you can give good gifts to your children, how much more can I, God, give good gifts?
Right?
Give good gifts.
We have Jody from Springdale. Jody? 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 Hello, Jody? Jody?
Hello?
Hello, Jody?
Yes.
Turn
I'm
your
right
TV
here.
Down. Turn your TV down,
hello?
Please. Turn your TV down, please.
Hello?
Turn your TV down, Jody. Jody?
Hello? I'm right here.
Turn your TV down, please.
King Solomon had multiple wives.
So was Abraham not called?
Solomon had many concubines and many, many wives.
Right.
But yet God used him.
The 12 tribes of Israel was established from 4 different women by the same husband.
In the Bible, a lot of times, it seems like there is polygamy.
Abraham, Isaac, the house of Israel, all of it came about because of polygamy.
I was just wondering if you knew that in the Bible, the prophets of old had multiple wives.
Abraham was he was commanded by God to take upon multiple wives.
Oh, he was? What chapter and verse was Abraham commanded by God to take his other wife? Did you find a commandment where he was supposed to live polygamy? Have you read the Bible to see if you can find polygamy being commanded in the Old Testament?
It's in the Bible, and we...
Josh, murder's in the Bible, but polygamy polygamy
okay.
has people in the stranglehold of a false salvation, and that's why we do the show. We want them to see the simplicity and the beauty of salvation in Jesus Christ alone without polygamy. So we do appreciate your call, and we hope that you'll turn from agnostic to following Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. That's hilarious. Thank you.
Good night. I don't know what was funny about that. I was serious.
I guess I wonder why you are even talking about this.
About which? We've been talking about a lot of things.
Everything. I guess everything, all of the above.
Absolutely.
And I got to say this, too, and you may be getting to this. If I'm playing the Mormon, and I was sitting here in my suit and tie as a Mormon, I can tell you right now, as a good, faithful Mormon man, I'm thinking about what extra wives I'm going to have someday. They're all thinking it.
Well, I'm going
to... And I might be thinking maybe...
I'm going to be dealing with that a little bit.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So don't turn them to God, turn them to you, right?
Did I say that?
Yeah, so you're trying to...
Did I say that?
Has anybody ever stopped to think about the logical implications of creating approximately the same number of men and women and then requiring each man to have three wives? It seems like a really sadistic game of musical chairs.
That's the whole problem of it. That's the whole problem.
What's the whole problem?
You understand the Bible differently than the next person because you're using your own judgment.
No, I'm afraid not. The Bible was written for a purpose, and God did not hide that purpose, nor did He make that purpose splintered.
I mean, we're not telling the truth.
What have we said
that wasn't true, Kathy?
I believe.
Kathy, what have we said that wasn't true?
Well, I could go on and on and on and on and on.
Name one thing we said that wasn't true. One thing.
Now, I have another call. Thank you.
I'm sure you do.
Good night.
If looking at you right now, you can see the anger.
Oh!
Good
night, Bev. It was nice talking with you.
Oh, it's about polygamy?
Yes.
So, how many husbands do you have?
Good night, Curtis. I'm going to say good night. Good night. As you can probably imagine, we do get our fair share of criticisms and verbal abuse from people who don't like to hear the things we talk about. Some of them call us on the show and some write to us after the show. But we recognize that our subject matter is controversial and emotionally charged for many people in this part of the country. And there will always be people who will take offense, even though our goal is not to offend, but to share truth. And sometimes that means pointing out falsehoods. But it is extremely gratifying to know that the Lord has indeed used this program to help other people to understand the biblical truth about the saving grace and love of Jesus Christ, and in many cases to find healing from their own wounds caused by polygamy and religious oppression. In fact, callers have even turned into guests of ours.
Come back to the Mormon Church, and I have questions now about it.
Well, I'd love to help you with that. If you have questions, I'd love to talk to you about it. Could we go to coffee someday?
Sure.
Yeah. Email me, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and I'd like you to meet Marisa Vandenbos. Right? Did I say your name right?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Okay. Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I want to be able to reach those people and help those people that were in the same boat that I was in.
I was wanting to comment to you guys how wonderful your program is.
Great show. And I like your show. I think you're doing great. And I just pray that you continue to
keep up the good work.
I like your show.
Thank you.
I enjoy your show. I watch it every week. So I'd like to commend you on your show. And I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a large LDS background. I never called before. But I want to thank the Lord for you and what He does through you about teaching about Jesus Christ and His saving grace.
I wanted to just, I was really, it made an impact when you were talking about people sexually abusing children in the name of God.
Yes.
I'm so glad that you brought that out because a lot of people forget that these polygamous leaders do this.
Mm-hmm. Not just the leaders.
Say that it is in the name of God because mm-hmm. I was abused as a child. I've escaped from a polygamy group. Thank you for taking my call. I am a current member of the LDS Church, but every time I come home from church, I am so sad because it's like a popularity contest and I don't think Jesus and God would treat me like that. And I wondered, when Sandra left the church, how did she do it without feeling so darn guilty?
Well, I didn't feel guilty because I knew that Christ had taken care of everything for me. He was my Savior and my best friend and the one that I looked to for strength. And that's our comfort, that it doesn't matter what man says, God sees your heart, and as you come to Him, He accepts you, and that's the thing that's important.
I am so grateful that you are telling people that God doesn't tell people to kill childhood. He doesn't tell them to rip the child out of a person.
He doesn't.
And I'm so glad that you have shown people that God chooses to love. He only does things to build you up. And I just wanted the world, basically, to know that it took me a long time to go from feeling like God hated me to knowing that God loves me.
Amen.
I just wanted to share that and say thank you, and I appreciate it.
Jane, can I interject something here? If you're going through this kind of pain with the church that you're going to, would you leave your telephone number with the operator, and I can call you and we can talk? I'd love to meet with you for coffee, and we can maybe talk this over. Maybe I can help you somehow.
I would like to do that. Thank you.
I would love to talk with you. I'd love to help encourage you.
Tell her to stay on the air.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Stay on the air so the operator can get your phone number.
Okay,
thank you.
And a month and a half ago, watching your program, I saw the light.
Praise God.
I've been going to a Christian church now for that month and a half, and I've given my soul and my heart to Jesus Christ.
Oh, good.
Oh, great.
All because
thank
of your
you.
Show.
Thank you. Thank you. But of course, the chief goal of why we do what we do is to share the good news that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone and not through polygamy or any other religious practice. That is our most important message. That is the only message that we really want any viewer to come away with. We do hope that you take the gift of eternal life that we talked about. Remember, no one works for a genuine gift, and you don't work for a gift. You just got it all wrong if you think you have to work for the gift of eternal life. The new and everlasting covenant is the covenant that Jesus Christ made on the cross, paying the price for our sins. We want you to know that you can take the gift. It's a free gift, not polygamy. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. This is God's heaven. And he gets to say how people get there. And if he decides that he wants people to get to heaven as a free gift, that's his prerogative. And I'd also like to remind you not to leave earth without your gift. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is a gift. It's not a set of doctrines. It's not living polygamy. The only way out of the condemnation that Jesus has pronounced on everyone, and that sentence of death, is Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the only way. So why not pray to God and ask him to reveal to you his grace and his mercy, and then embrace it. We're commanded to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our God. Turn to him tonight. We want to thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week on Polygamy, What Love Is This. Good night. On behalf of everyone here at Polygamy, What Love Is This, I want to thank each and every one of our viewers for inviting us into your homes, for your comments, both encouraging ones and the challenging ones, and for your prayers and your support. We do hope and pray that you'll keep watching for as long as the Lord permits us to share the good news on this program. We hope and pray that you'll keep watching for as long as the Lord permits us to share.
Yay! It was that great.
Oh, mercy. Okay, I stumbled on that one, didn't I? Big time.
That's okay.
Well, I don't think any of us ever claim to be professionals around here, and that just goes to show that it indeed is God's miracles that brings this production to fruition once in every single week, and we know that he does it. To him, he gets all the glory, and we praise his name and his name only. But we do appreciate every person's efforts and every person's prayers for our show. And now I'm going to turn the rest of our pre-telephone time over to our co-host tonight, He's Jim Catlin. He's the pastor of the Main Street Church of Brigham City. He works in the control room every week as well on the show. And I'd like to thank you for coming, Jim, and sharing in this celebration.
Yeah. Well, this is different for me because, like you say, I'm every other week. Actually, every week, I guess, I'm back there.
Well,
so
almost every time.
Yeah, so if people want to call in and complain about the shots, I'll take
they
them
complain
tonight,
to you.
So
okay.
Yeah, and I also came with your favorite color on tonight.
Yeah, and I'm wearing blue, so we're
I don't know what
here.
Happened, so it's kind of a strange thing. So, yeah, if you don't know Doris, in fact, you're going to get to know Doris more tonight because we thought it'd be fun for you to understand a little bit about where she comes from and why she's on TV and all that kind of stuff. And pink is part of it, so you got to know that pink is part of that whole thing. So we're going to take some time and just find out more about Doris, and maybe it'll stimulate some questions from you. And call in and ask more about her, but she's a real person, and I've just grown to love her a lot over the last several years as we've done this. So let me just ask some questions about your background. Now, we know, if you've been listening to the show, we know you're not from an LDS background.
Right.
Yeah,
not LDS.
Not LDS. Ever stepped foot?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, okay. So, but you did come from a polygamist or a fundamentalist background. So go back as a child. What was life like growing up as a child which group was it? Let's get
it
that clear.
It was the Kingston Polygamy Group, which it should be well known in at least in the valley, in the area. And you say not an LDS background, but the Kingstons, at least at the time that I was being raised in that group, and all of the other polygamy groups do study LDS doctrine.
Right.
We get it.
Well,
right.
Yeah, we establish that,
we
right?
Get,
it's like,
yeah. Yeah, it's LDS. So when people say, oh, you know, you don't know what it is to be LDS, you have no business talking about it. Yeah, right. I really do know all about the LDS doctrine besides my own study. My mother believed that the children should be raised like calves in a stall. And she
calves in a stall?
Uh-huh. She got that from somewhere.
Okay.
But, well, that meant no connection to the outside world.
Okay.
No experience, no socializing, no experience except for what she allows to come into this little stall, see? And that's basically...
Now, was that just her, or was that a general fundamentalist?
Have read that statement in some historical accounts that I've read, and I think it was an earlier fundamentalist, but it could have been gone clear back to early Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I know I have read that somewhere else, and that's probably where she got it from.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's debilitating.
So you're kind of shut in the stall, in a sense. I mean, it as you were growing up, when you would think about the outside world, let's say, what was your perspective of what the world was outside of your calf stall? I mean, was it enticing out there? Was it confusing? Was it threatening? And what were you told about? I mean, I've always wondered what the perspective, especially coming from a child, is what's out there.
Yeah.
So what was that?
Well, as a child, we did go to public school, so I saw what was out there, and I didn't know that we weren't supposed to know anything about out there until I found out we were polygamous, and I didn't know that until I found out who my real father was.
Oh, wait. So when did you find out you were a polygamist?
I was about 10, I think, when I found out. I was 9 or 10 years old when my older brother told me who my real father was.
Really?
And up till that point, I thought we were just normal people. You know? I mean, weird, but normal, you know.
Well, but before 10, was your dad around?
He was around, but I didn't know he was my father. He was.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, just, you know, we would call the other mothers, we would call them, the other wives would call them aunts, and our siblings, half-siblings, would be cousins. And,
right.
And so, and I didn't know any better until I found out who my real father was. And then, that's when things start turning weird, because then they have to teach you how to lie, and they teach you not to tell you can't have friends at school, they might find out who you are, and if the teacher talks to you about what your family, you can't tell them, you have to tell them this. And that's when it starts getting weird, and that's when fear entered in.
So then, like, up to the age of 10, you go to school, and you're sort of living like all the other kids, and thinking you're part of the mainstream with the other kids?
Kind of.
Then you find out, and everything's different.
Everything changes. Well, actually, your awareness changes, and so that changes you. Nothing really changed out there, but what changed was what was going on with
Were you
me.
Warned to be kind of... circumspect
well,
about your
we were told we couldn't have any outside friends. If I had friends at school, there would be sometimes somebody would want me to come and play with her at her house after school, or come and play with me. And no, it was just not allowed. There were no outside friends at all.
So you never had friends over?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, no sleepovers?
No.
Birthday parties? Really?
No. I can't remember, actually, if I go, and I've done this a lot, especially after I became a Christian. Yeah. I have so few memories, good memories of my childhood, so few. You know, that girl talked on the collage we just saw about mm-hmm. stealing the childhood. You know, I know what she's talking about. Hers was worse than mine, but our childhood was stolen.
Do you think that's pretty universal? At least in the fundamentalist groups, that children are living that kind of a half experience, kind of as kids.
I think I can't say that it's every family, but I think it happens too much. Yes, yeah. Way too much. Now I've talked to people like Brent Jess, for instance, when he was on the show.
Right.
He had a wonderful childhood. He loved to go play, and the kids would get mm-hmm. together, and they'd have a ball. They'd have a lot of fun while they were kids.
Yeah.
We didn't do that.
Yeah.
We didn't have fun.
Is it different, the child experience? Say like Kingston's are interwoven in the fabric of the community. But when you get to a Colorado City or a Hilldale, I mean, are their children's experience going to be different because of that?
I think so.
In what kind of ways? I mean, well, they're probably more free if they're on a compound orientation.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah, they are. And even within the Kingston group, there were families. Actually, my dad's first wife, her family was treated much more sane than our family was.
More sane?
Yes. They had a lot more liberties than we had. So it even depended upon the family that you were in.
Yeah.
Basically who your mother was, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. Families are treated differently.
That's incredible. Well, you know, as you sort of look back on that earlier life, one thing that I really wondered about was the religious culture that's there. And you know, you grow up, like you're saying, you get up to the age of 10, you don't really know much different. And you go past that, and suddenly you realize you're sort of self-conscious culturally in that sense. But what about spiritually? I mean, did you understand whether what your family believed was different, say, from LDS culture or Christian culture? Did you have it? When was it you started to understand that something was a little, I don't know, spiritually speaking?
It did, really. I remember I was in junior high school, and I believe it was the seventh grade. And in the locker rooms, one of the girls asked me what ward I went to. And I didn't have a clue what she's talking about. You know, we went to Kingston Sunday School and Kingston meetings on Sundays, and everything, any of the social activities was all involved with the group, not mm-hmm. with any of the community, outside community. So when she said, "What ward are you?" and I said, "What's that?"
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, the Borman Church, you know, you go to a certain place," and I said, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Did you even know what a ward was?
I didn't.
Oh,
no,
really?
Okay. I was very naive. Very, very naive. No, we weren't taught those things.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And again, it was cows at a stall, so I didn't know. I wasn't in the community. I didn't know.
Yeah.
We were raised on a farm, and so we were outside of any of the township or anything like that.
All our
social activities was with the group.
It makes me think, we hadn't talked about this, but children that are in fundamentalist groups, I mean, for us, in terms of how we relate to them, is there a way we would relate to kids differently if we knew someone was fundamentalist? I mean, that would be a compassionate way, I mean.
I think so.
I'm talking kind of like needs that we don't perceive.
Yeah, I think so. I think that they would need to be told. I think we go to the heart of the spiritual matter.
Mm-hmm.
About Jesus, mm-hmm, first of all,
right.
And because they have been taught a skewed idea of who Jesus is, and his function, his purpose, his mission here on the earth.
Right.
So
right.
I think that would be the first way that we would do. And of course, befriend them first. Let them know that you're trustworthy.
Sure.
But often they're taught anybody outside of the group isn't trustworthy.
Yeah. Well, let's move forward. Let's move forward out of the childhood there. I mean, when you were getting close to leaving, you left, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You apostatized.
Yes, I sure did.
I'm curious what your experience inside the Kingstons, inside the fundamentalist culture, spiritually and culturally, how that changed your perspective of the outside world as you were in the process of going out there. I mean, what did they tell you was out there, and did it fulfill those expectations, you know what I mean?
Well,
how did it taint your thinking about out there?
It didn't taint it. They wanted to.
Yeah.
They wanted to taint it. I remember my father would say, "Oh, the things look nice out there, but it's the devil's trap and the devil's playground."
Don't fall into that.
Yeah, yeah. So don't go there. And they would do everything they could to scare us from going out there. And of course, they were always threatened all the while we were growing up. If we ever talked about what was going on within the group to any outsiders, or if we ever left the group, we were doomed. That was the locking the key on hell. We just had gone to the point of no return. And so that, again, was designed to keep us in, to scare us, to stay in. Yeah. And there was a lot of fear about dying and going into this hell, this son of perdition, because I talked about the polygamy group. But it still held a lot of attraction for me. And I think what it held, the attraction it held for me is I wanted away from the abusive life I was in. Mm-hmm. I was in an abusive, physically abusive, emotionally, I can't tell you how emotionally dead I was.
Yeah.
And just a couple of weeks ago, we met another woman from one of the groups. She's emotionally dead, just like that, you know, and my heart just breaks for her because I've been there. I know what it is. But the attraction it held for me was freedom. That's what I wanted.
Even though everything you've been taught told you this was dangerous. This was
hellish. Yes, because living in the group was hell. Living in the group was hell.
So a captive hell was worse than a free hell.
I'm not sure that's the way I thought about it, but that's kind of probably the way the way it was.
Did you think when you left that you were actually going to hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believed I had crossed the line. And once you do that, and I have talked to so many people who've left polygamy groups, not just the Kingston, but the FLDS and the AUB and other groups as well, where once they have, and they all were taught son of perdition if you leave, and when they make that step out, they figure, well, I've at the point of no return, doesn't matter what I do now.
Then you just go crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nothing to lose because you've lost it all.
Nothing to lose, you've lost it all. There's nothing left.
And do they pretty characteristically just go off the deep end?
There are some who do, yes.
Really?
There are some who do.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, when you left, you went off the deep end.
Well.
And we won't go too much into it. but I know those were, I know that was really a troubling time for you. But how much did, when you left and you went off the deep end, I guess what I'm wondering is that how did God start to get your attention in the middle of all that chaos, about swapping one horrible existence for another horrible existence? I mean, how does God break through that? How did he start to do that?
Well, needless to say, and I've shared on this show before, when I did leave, I hated God. I didn't know he wasn't real. I didn't know that the God that they had taught me about was a fake God, was an idol, was just a dream in somebody's head. But he was a tyrant. He was a vengeful God, a hateful God, a greedy sex maniac type God, you know? And
God was a sex maniac?
Yeah, he was a polygamist.
Hold on here. This is an interesting thought. So you sort of took what you saw as your spiritual leader's example inside the Kingstons and mapped it onto who you thought God was?
Well, they told us he was.
Really?
The early Mormons taught, and the polygamy groups taught, that Jesus was a polygamist, that his father was a polygamist, and so on. Right. So he naturally, his image is, actually the Bible does say you become like the God you serve. So
that's true. That's true.
So I didn't want that God, and of course we were threatened with his hatred, vengeance, and his getting us at some point all of our lives.
Yeah.
So I didn't want him. Yeah. I didn't want him. And my greatest fear was, and I'm going to share this on a show on July 31st, more of my journey
come
out.
Back and
I really
hear more
believe
about this.
I really believe that God wants me to do that. But he needed to get my attention by letting me know that he loves me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. All I knew is he hated me, and I didn't want a God who hated me. My fear was to die, get over on the other side, face God, and find out one of two things, that it was the polygamy group that was right and it was to polygamy hell I go, or that the LDS church was right. And so because I've rejected both of them, and I didn't want anything to do with the LDS church either.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're the ones that started this stuff, so why would I want them? And that was my fear. But God led me onto a journey. I didn't know he was leading me on this journey, where I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the LDS church was not God's way to heaven. And that freed my fears that I had of searching for the truth to where I felt comfortable now going further and looking into what the truth might really be.
So what's the date you're going to go back into that?
July 31st, the last show of the month. I'm going to talk about that portion of my journey.
How does a God who to you is nothing but vengeful and a sex maniac.
I mean
everything greedy, everything bad. How does he communicate love to break through that?
I read three words in a book I was reading. Said, God loves you.
And you believe that?
I had never heard that before.
There was never any talk of God being loving in the fundamentals?
Nobody loved me when I was a child. I've thought and I look back and nobody ever told me they loved me. And God certainly wasn't a part of any of that. No, I never heard of anybody's love for me.
Wow.
When I was growing up.
Wow.
Yeah, so it really touched me when
so
I knew God loved me.
Different from my experience. My mom would hit me, but she said she loved me. So
I did this in love.
Yeah. So I knew she loved me. Yeah. So you're going to cover that whole process of understanding God's love. But wasn't there something about, as you were coming to know who he was and coming to know his loving kindness, was there ever a nagging thought that maybe you're swapping one misguided religious system for another misguided religious system?
No, there wasn't, not the way God led me to believe and understand in him. But what did happen is after I did receive Jesus and accepted him and gave my life to Jesus, I wanted to go to church. I really wanted to go, but I had never been to a church in my life other than the polygamy group church. And I didn't trust my own judgment to choose a church.
Sure, yeah,
and I say, I didn't know any Christians at all. And I didn't know what to do. Well, one of the resources...
But you did have a sense he was there somewhere.
God
was part of that experience?
Yeah, I didn't know what part he was playing in this new thing that had happened to me. But I knew he was there, yes.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that one of the resources that came across my path was a book called Mormonism, Shadow, or Reality.
We know that
and
book.
It was, I didn't have a clue who the Tatters were. I didn't know anything about them at the time, but that book was intimidating, you know. And
did you read the whole book?
I didn't read the whole book. Not
either.
Yet, anyway. But I had looked in the back of it, and I read Sandra and Gerald's testimonies in the back of the book.
Yes.
And they led me to tears, so, you know, I knew I could trust. And one day, as I was just wanting to go to church so bad, but I was afraid to choose, I thought, I can trust her.
Yeah,
so I got my card, I ran down to her bookstore, and she's the first person I ever talked to after I got saved. And I didn't even know I was saved yet.
Right?
I just knew there was a change.
Yeah.
And I walked in there and I told her a little bit about myself. First time I told anybody I was from a polygamy group outside of the man I had married.
Right.
And she just was nonchalant, you know, oh really, you know.
She didn't freak out and run out of the store?
No, and she didn't point fingers and laugh at me, you know.
I'm sorry, this story is for LDS.
She knew more about the Kingstons than I did. Yeah, the funny part of that is, you know. But we talked for a few minutes, and I told her I wanted to go to church, but I wasn't sure how to make the choice, and she gave me a card to her church. And 2 weeks later, I walked into her church, and I knew. They were singing Christmas carols. It was the first Sunday of December.
Right.
And I stood in that sanctuary just crying my full head off. And I remember saying to myself, I've come home. I've come home. This is where I should have been. Why did it take me so long?
You know? Oh, wow.
Sunday school, they were studying Isaiah 53. And I didn't know God had done all that for me. And I bawled on my...
Had you ever heard Isaiah 53?
No.
Wow.
It was the first time.
Wow.
It's amazing. Just amazing.
You going to talk more about that on the 31st?
I can.
Okay, yeah,
I think
should.
If we have time.
Oh, it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating. Okay, so I'm watching the clock here time-wise. Oh, Mary's on the phone. You want to talk to Mary?
Mary Mackert, certainly.
Yeah.
Yes, let's take her call.
Yeah.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Doris.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're so welcome. I just want to thank you for a whole year of faithfulness to this program. And to the people out there who really need to know what's going on in their communities with polygamy. And just want to thank God for sustaining you for all this time. You're a blessing.
Mary, thank you. You're a blessing. You're a blessing to many of us. And you know you have an open invitation to come on the show anytime you're down in this area.
Oh, thank you so much. I do appreciate that.
For our viewers...
next
in
week?
Case they don't know, next week we're going to do the National Geographic.
I'm just reminding Mary right now.
Oh, so. Okay. Reminder.
Mary, you're calling back next week, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just checking.
Okay.
Okay.
And Mary has been in the FLDS group. She's born and raised in the Colorado City group and got married off to polygamous man. She was the sixth wife and had how many boys? Five boys, Mary?
Five boys,
And she finally got out, and she also came to find out about God's love and saving grace and gave her life to God as well.
Yes, what a wonderful gift salvation is, and I'm so thrilled that God chose me.
Yes, and what an
and
adventure.
He brought me out of that. None of it was out of my own power, but he saw fit to do that, and I'm ever so grateful to him.
Well, amen to that, Mary, and you've been a wonderful friend. I thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, we'll be talking to you next week then.
All right, then.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Doris.
Thank you. You too.
FTV 20.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Love you, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was good to hear from her. She was on the second and third show that we had here.
That's right.
And it hasn't been a year. It's been 2 years. We're at 100 show in a little over 2 years.
She's hard to grab because she's way up in North Idaho, almost the Canadian border.
Yeah.
So she's way up there, so she's just not in town very much.
She doesn't even see it. And we are accepting phone calls, by the way, from any of our viewing audience. If you'd like to call in and say how this show has or hasn't helped you, or whatever you want to comment you'd like to make, we'd like to hear from you.
In fact, if you want, you could take Kelly while she's
Kelly?
There. Sure.
All righty, Kelly. Kelly?
Hello?
Hello. Oh, Kelly, you're on the air. What's your question?
Hi, I was flipping through the channels here, and I came across your show. And my question was of a comment you made just a few minutes ago about Jesus being a polygamist. And where does it teach that? You know, I am LDS, and our LDS church, or the FLDS church, came about from the LDS church, and I've never been taught that Jesus was a polygamist. And so I was just wondering, where is that reference?
I don't have on the top of my head. I wish I had it with me, but I don't. But I know the early Mormon leaders taught it. Brigham Young taught it. You could probably find it in the Journal of Discourses. If you wanted to email me, and give me your email address, I'd be happy to email it to you, because I know I have it at home.
Okay, I was just really confused because, you know, I've never been taught that.
Well, they used
and
to teach it.
You stated it as a fact. And so if you don't have a reference, I was like, well, then where's the fact?
Well, I can give you a reference. Lorenzo Snow taught it. Wilford Woodruff taught it. Brigham Young taught it. I'm not sure about Joseph Smith, but I think he did as well.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll email you so then, I can get that reference from you, and I hope to hear back. I'll keep watching your show, then.
You bet. I will definitely email you back the references, and our email address is tv@aboutpolygamy.com. It's on the screen there.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Off the air question, Maria from Salt Lake, please define what it means to be a Christian. I'll let the pastor do that.
Oh, because you're off tonight. Is that what you're saying?
Why not?
Being a Christian is actually quite simple. It's admitting your powerlessness to be able to save yourself. That there's no works you can do to save yourself, and to realize that you need saving. Actually, that there's a standard by which there's godliness. That we cannot be part of God's family unless we're totally selfless. And sin is selfishness. And so we admit our inability to change that. And we come to Jesus, who paid the price on our behalf that we might become God's children. We're not born God's children, which I know is kind of not well thought around here.
Yeah.
But then we become His children, according to John 1, and then we follow Him, and we give our entire life to Him. One really good metaphor that's been used is like a husband and wife, like a husband will get down on his knees with a ring in his hand and propose to his wife and say, "Will you be mine?" And her response isn't to earn his love at that point, but to accept it, and then the natural thing is for her to follow him, to abandon her whole life behind and follow him. So really it's an issue about putting your trust in Jesus' ability to save you and then saying yes and following and leaving an old life behind. So that's the simple way to look at it.
And I'd like to just add to that the Bible is the authority to define Christianity. It's not our culture and it's not any given particular church, but it's the Bible who defines what Christianity is. Anything outside of that is not Christian.
Good point.
Okay, another off-the-air... that was not
And you ought to offer, too, if that person who put in the note is curious about whether they are or not, to go ahead and write you and just find out.
You're always welcome to email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, with your questions or further discussion on anything like this. Another off-the-air question, Laura from Ogden, do you see polygamists in the community? If so, how do we recognize them?
I've had that same question many times.
One man walking down the street with six wives on his arm probably is a clue.
That's right.
or a train of children behind them.
Or if they have those little calf stalls in the back of their house.
No, 24th of July parade.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let's be serious, actually.
Laura, I don't know how I could tell you how to recognize the polygamists. Most of the polygamists that are in this area look just like the rest of us. You can't really tell them differently. They don't dress like the FLDS normally dress in their communities. So I can't tell you how to recognize them. They don't really walk around
with
different.
A badge or anything like that?
Yeah, nothing. No big P on their...
Yeah. Well, in fact, when we first got involved in Brigham City in our church, it was brought to us, why are we so active doing outreach and presenting the truth to LDS? And no one is doing that from the Christian community into the fundamentalist community. Yeah. And my first response back was, well, are there any fundamentalists in our town? You start to look around, you don't know. And she said, oh yeah, give me a phone book, I'll show you. And she opened up and just started showing us. So they really are interwoven. I think the majority are interwoven in the fabric of the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And every once in a while we'll get an email or a note where there are active Mormons that are polygamous.
Yeah.
And they never admit it, at least to the Mormon authorities.
Right.
But they are living true Mormonism by doing it, and they feel like they have to do that.
And sincerely believing they're Orthodox in that sense, more Orthodox followers of Joseph Smith.
In fact, I've got an email here. We may not get this far, so I thought I'd read it now. This woman said, thanks for doing your show. Many years ago, I met a woman in Nauvoo who was newlywed to a Mormon man, and she had just found out he had a first wife and he had failed to tell her about. To say she was devastated would be an understatement. Her pain was just radiating off of her. I didn't know what to say. I just wish there had been a show like yours to point her to. Mormon man who is a polygamist there.
Wow.
And the woman just found out and it broke her heart.
Wow.
Okay, let's go to Maria in Riverton. Hello, Maria.
Marla.
I'm sorry, Marla. I can see that now.
That's okay.
You're on the air. What's your question?
Hi. Yes, Doris. I really appreciate your show. I've never personally been touched by polygamy, but I'm out here in Riverton, and there are some Mormon or the polygamists up here in Harriman. I see these poor women at the grocery store with their younger daughters or other wives. I'm not even sure which, but it just breaks my heart to see them in their frumpy dresses and their braids. I hate to just look at them and stare. I would like to help these poor women. Is there anything we can do?
Well, if you're really interested in helping out, you might want to email us and see what we can do through the ministry. If you wanted to just help people in the grocery store, I guess you'd just try and be their friend and just tell them that God loves them. And that his love is unconditional. They are taught from the beginning that they have to do this in order to earn God's love, and they don't. And they need to know that God loves them unconditionally.
Well, that's great. I really hate for them to look at us as we're the enemy, because we're
not. Well, they're taught that. We were taught that. This is what we were talking about. And most all the polygamists are taught that the outsiders are the enemy. I don't know how you can get by with that unless you become their friend.
Well, I really appreciate your help. Thank you, Doris, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Marla. Good night.
Bye.
Okay, Sandy from Lehi. Hello, Sandy. Sandy?
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. What's your question?
Oh, I wanted to say thank you for the show. I'm not from Utah, and so it was a little bit of a strain when I first started understanding what the LDS faith was and how I was being ostracized for not being LDS. And so I'm finally understanding it, and seeing your show really makes it easier for me to handle.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. And if you ever have any questions about anything, you are free to call any Thursday night, or else email us too. Because it is a culture shock for many people.
It's really hard when they tell me I'm not going to heaven, and I know I am, because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have no organizational religion, but I am saved, and I can't believe that they want to tell me that I'm not going to heaven.
Well, by their doctrine, you're not. They believe they're the only true church on the planet. They teach that. And so everybody else is, in their opinion, just not going to make it to their celestial glory. Unfortunately.
It kind of really bothers me that I'm in a state that's 60% LDS, and I work in a company that's like 90% LDS. So it's a really tough environment. Everybody's very kind and all that, but I'm totally left out of everything.
There is a lot of shunning. You need to say, want to say anything about that?
No.
A lot of shunning.
It happens, yeah.
It does. It happens so much. And we have so many of our people who criticize the show say, we don't shun. That's a lie. We don't do that. It happens so much. It's a heartbreak. And it happens with the polygamy groups. It's bad and it's even worse than it does with the Mormon church. But it happens.
Yes, and it's pretty difficult. In fact, I feel like I'm single, and I feel like I'll never meet a man that I can date here because either they are LDS or they have been LDS, and so they have that mindset. And it's very difficult. I haven't dated since I've been here.
Well, Sandy, what I would recommend is that you do go to a Christian church. If you are saved, then the Bible says not to to keep from gathering together, meeting together.
Yeah.
So you would meet a lot of good Christian friends, and it would kind of help to buffer the shunning that you're receiving from the rest of the culture.
I may try that.
I think you should do that.
And Sandy, can I add one thing too?
Sure.
When I moved to Utah, I had a similar experience. But what I kept reminding myself was, if say an LDS person from here goes and moves to the Bible Belt in the South, Texas, or I know wherever. I'm not going to pick on any particular state. But you go to a very dominant, say, Baptist state. It's not really a conscious shunning many times. It's just you're different. And so as I've come here, I've realized with the benefit of the doubt that maybe just a lot of LDS see me as being different. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so I tell myself, what I want to do is reach out to them in the situation rather than, to remember what it was like when I was living in a Baptist area and just related to Baptists.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So,
actually, I lived in a Baptist state in South Carolina for 6 or 7 years.
There's one right there. Yeah.
So, and I never felt shunned there. Never.
Yeah.
I was always treated equally and invited to everything. It was unlike here.
Yeah, but put yourself in an LDS shoes moving to South Carolina and think how difficult it would be for them. That's what you're going through. So, rely on God to reach out into the community when they won't reach out to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandy, for calling.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Good night. An off-the-air question from Marcia. She said, when will you talk more in detail on the air about how you came out of polygamy? Well, hopefully maybe I'll be able to on the 31st of July,
yeah,
when I plan on telling a little bit more of my story. Okay, line 3, we have David calling. Hello, David.
Yes,
you're on the air. What's your question?
Oh, I would just like to say congratulations on your 100th episode.
Thank you. It's a miracle. We know that.
It is. You said something earlier about not being taught certain things, and I would like to add that I come from a polygamous group as well, and there's many polygamists out here that are watching your show every Thursday, and you just never know what you might say, what Bible verse you might put across, and it's planted seeds in minds, and I think props to you, and I hope to see you on your 200th episode.
Well, thank you, David, and you are so right when you say that, and we pray that God will cause us to say what he knows the viewers need to hear. So you are so right. And what group are you from, do you mind saying?
I'm from the Kingston group.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
However, I hear that you're from that group as well.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't aware of that. I'm a little bit younger, and a lot of the people that leave that group never even hear about. I mean, we never hear about that kind of thing because they try not to tell us about the people that go out there and are successful. They just tell us about the ones that turn to drugs and crime. You
That's
know?
What they do. Calves in a stall.
Well, I'm glad to see that you found your way, and you're doing good in life.
Hey, David, why don't you email me, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. I'd like to talk with you a little further, if you don't mind.
I sure will.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Uh-huh, good night.
Let me read this really quick, since it follows on with David's comment.
Okay.
Yeah, an email that came in. My husband and I Just had our names removed from Mormon records. I want to let Doris know that she is a breath of fresh air. And she goes on and says, and every word she says just reaffirms the fact that we've made a great decision by leaving the church. We feel so fortunate to have stumbled across the TV show. Thank you so very much. So,
and that's where we praise God, because He alone knows who He's touching with whatever it is that we prepare for each week. And so thank you for reading that. We do have a couple of more callers coming in, but we've got to wind down right now. Bob from Salt Lake City and Janet from Kearns, would you mind either emailing us or calling back next week and giving us your questions or your comments, because we would love to hear from you. And we would just start winding down our 100th anniversary or 100th show anniversary, whatever it is. Did you want to ask one more quick question before we do my closing comments?
Just a quickie. How can people help you?
How can people help the ministry?
Mm-hmm.
Christians, please pray. We would love to hear you praying for us. And if you wanted to be involved in the ministry at all, you can always email us. And we do need mentors. We do need people who would want to reach out and help. Of course, when the economy's down, the funding is down. Mm-hmm. And it does take, of course, the money to run the ministry. So if God leads you to help in that way or any other way, we would love to hear from you. And prayers, I think, are the most.
And you can always
important.
Volunteer on Thursday nights here at TV 20.
Come to the show and volunteer here and have fun with us here. Yeah. So, I guess that would be it. Okay.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
I would like to make my closing comments and talk about grace versus work. We are warned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, that if anyone is relying upon the law to try to work for their salvation, that they will fall from grace and Christ will be of no effect for you at all, no value at all. And that means that you won't have a Savior if Christ is no value to you. Several days ago, God reminded me of something that He has said to Paul when He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Well, if God's grace is sufficient for the challenges that we have in this life, isn't His grace also sufficient for eternal life and for our eternal glory? The gospel is not do everything that you can do and Jesus does the rest, but that Jesus already did your works for you, and He confirmed it by saying it is finished. There is a price for us to get into heaven, but Jesus paid that price, and God never charges double for anything, and Jesus has paid that price. All we have to do is accept it by faith and rest in His promises. But remember, salvation is not resurrection. Even the multitudes of the damned will be resurrected. So be sure that you are saved by Jesus Christ and Him alone. He already did your works for you. Thank you for inviting us in your homes tonight. We hope you'll spend every Thursday night with us. We pray that God will bless you and that He'll keep you and that He will shine His face upon you, that He will be gracious to you, and that you will find your peace in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And for all of us at Polygamy, What Love Is This? Thank you and good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again. Mm-hmm.